Hi everyone, and welcome to Video Gaming is Good. This is episode 10. We've made it into double digits, I can't believe it. And I'm your host, Darren, aka Emo, and...
I'm Sklozza. My new name is Lee7.
Yeah, okay. And thanks for joining us on, I guess, a sort of milestone show. Double digits, what do you think about that, Lee?
I reckon it's great.
No. And for once on our... I guess our milestone episode, I think we are on time.
Yes.
We're not delayed. Yes. Oh, you know, so, wow, I don't know what happened there, I guess.
And the problem is, it's night right now, so I can't see all those pigs flying past.
Oh. Okay, well, everyone, thanks for listening, and as you know, we're not pros. You already know that as you have been listening before. And just a quick thanks to Excalibur, Alfalfa, and Jimbo for your comments on the past episode. Very much appreciated.
Thank you.
In response to Alfalfa's question of why we haven't talked much about the PS3, is rather simple. We haven't talked much about the PS3 because we don't really like the PS3. We're more Nintendo fans.
Yeah.
Don't get us wrong, the PS3 is a good machine, but if I had my choice, yeah, and because the Nintendo is basically half the price, I'd take the Nintendo Wii over the PS3.
Yeah. Have to agree with you there.
Yeah, okay. So we'll go straight to the news, and it's Lee with the first article.
Yay! Okay, this article is called 7 Tips for Camping Out for a Wii or PS3 at a site called Gaming Out Loud. Okay, and it's good advice, and not just can you use this for when you're camping out in front of a shop for Wii or PS3, you could use this stuff in your day-to-day life too. I mean, I'm already using this stuff, and it's great. So, 7 tips. You got your first tip, dress the part. So, obviously, you wear something, you know, with the guy in the picture, he's got a 1-Up mushroom on it.
Oh,
obviously. Make friends with those at the front. Duh. Tip three is sage words of wisdom here. Bring a handheld system. And, as the little demonstration here, it's a, hey, is that a DS Lite? Yes. They're a bond for life there. Bond for life. Friendship forged. Don't be yourself. That's good, because I'm pretty boring. Make yourself seem intriguing.
Oh, you're not boring, Lee. We know that.
And, I mean, it's like, yeah, there are all these other people there, as the author writes, dedicated fans who, just by some freak accident, they happen to have the same weekend free for the 245th week in a row. Perfect. Turn away as many people as you can. I mean, you know, obvious survival tip there.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to get violent like it's GTA 3. Yes. when you're getting that Wii, that's something. You know, that's more important than water.
Yep.
And be gracious in victory or defeat. Definitely. It's got a tip there on how to psych someone out. So, yeah, good article, good tips, good life advice there.
Yeah. We'll put all the links up for all the articles on the website, and of course, I suggest that, you know, if you've got some time, check out this article, The 7 Tips for Camping Out for a Wii or PS3. It's a good laugh, especially those who are into gaming and will understand about lining up for a console, but it's a good read. I had a couple of giggles through it, and thanks to Lee for pointing that out to me.
No worries. On to you.
Okay, me. And this article is titled "Educators Explore Second Life Online." This is from the CNN website, and it's basically saying how educators are using this online game called Second Life as like a, well, I wouldn't say like a what's that thing? You know, what's that old forums gathering like in the olden days?
Like a
notice board or something like that. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Don't think of it as a notice board where you gather there to say stuff. Think of it as basically a virtual classroom where you go in and they're using this as a way to reach out to people, especially I guess in a way those who are external students in a way. So, you know, you could be overseas or a different country, you know, and also to learn what's going on in this particular course, which I believe they're doing at Harvard Law School or something like that. You know, students can interact with each other, but they don't have to be at the campus. And I guess this is a pretty sweet way. I wish they had something like this when I was at uni, where you don't actually have to go to uni. You can just participate through this online game and, you know, learn whatever's teaching on. So it's like a virtual classroom in a way. But, yeah, one thing that I like about you is that in Second Life, it does have a drawback, is that you might be distracted by people flying around you, because in the game, you can navigate by flying or teleporting. So I'm going, well, we couldn't do that in uni, you know, we should do that year. But, yeah, it's an interesting read, but I believe this is probably, how I want to say it, a step in, not the right direction, but, you know, a new direction of how video games is being integrated into everyday life, and in this particular case, it's into our education. Anything you want to add about this, Lee?
Yeah, well, it seems like a good idea, and I like the whole concept of it, especially, you know, you get education over distance. That's really good. But I think the distraction factor of it might, you know, cause too many problems in actually sort of learning anything. I don't know. I mean, I haven't used it, so it's hard for me to say. But I'd be a little bit worried about that. But yeah, no, it'd be interesting to see how it goes and sort of see the you know, what it can come up with.
Yeah, I guess it would be, you know, distracting. Like, you know, look at the pretty colors. Oh, what, this guy's dressed up like an angel. What the hell's going on here? What, are those two people having cyber sex? I don't know, but, you know, might be something to keep an eye on. But if they do it properly, you know, I don't see why they shouldn't, you know, put this out there more for other universities or even other learning education institutions can do it. Well, that's enough to listening to my boring voice. I'll hand you back to the one and only Lee.
Okay. So next article, Nintendo Wii, funny name, I agree. Fun system, well, probably going to agree with that. Rightio, this article, again, on CNN, done by Chris Morris. And, I mean, even if you don't want to go to CNNmoney.com, you got to go to this site just to see this guy's stupid Photoshop of himself with Mario hat. It's just suck. But, okay, so apart from that, the article, the actual, you know, word bits. Yeah, it's good. He's capturing, I think, what a lot of gamers out there are feeling and what I think Nintendo is angling for. And that's, you know, less about the hardware, less about the fact that it's got a, you know, this, that, or the other driver. It's got 14 gigajillion watts of this, that, and the other. No one cares. It's about the games, which ultimately, you know, it's what these things are for. He makes the suggestion. This is the console. This is the console you pick up at launch. Yeah, do that. He mentions the controller, how that's you know, bit different, and how, you know, when you first get it, your first instinct is to, you know, whack it around like a baseball bat. But you're gonna have to be, suave. You're gonna have to be subtle with this. Got to treat it nice. You can't just whack it around. And, yeah, so about the games, you mentioned some of the interesting games coming out, like SpongeBob SquarePants.
Ooh.
Ooh, yeah. And, yeah, good. Another bit of, you know,
Wii is great. Wii advice, I guess.
Yeah, a bit of Wii advice. But, yeah, this could be the, you know, dawn of a new age of gaming where it's all on the games and the gameplay rather than, you know, how many gigatrillion watts of storage it has and some, you know, I don't care, Blu-ray, whatever, just as long as the damn thing works and the game's good. That's it.
That's it. And especially if it's gotten someone at CNN interested in it, it has to be good.
Mm.
But, you know, they say that, you know, the controller, how you're not supposed to whack it around, I guess, you know, the controller has got they name it the nunchuck attachment. So don't think of it as nunchucks from Michelangelo in Ninja Turtles, so you're going to be doing that, you know, Bruce Lee imitation, working around. You probably have to fork out more money to buy out a new controller after you lose grip on the nunchuck and it slams into the wall. But, you know, nunchuck, that's an interesting name, I guess, if you want to call it. But, with the Nintendo Wii being, I guess you want to say, a step in a different direction, instead of going for all this fancy graphics and power, it is going for the interaction. I think it will be a big winner, and we all know from previous experience that Nintendo will bring out very, very good games.
Yeah, and you got to have a look at that stupid photo.
Yeah, he does look,
pretty lame.
He looks pretty lame, but yeah, it's fun, I guess, for all things. Okay, back to me now.
Yeah, back to you.
Final article for this episode is called Call of Duty 4 in the Works. Now, for all of those who are big Call of Duty fans like me, this is something I'm very interested in because Call of Duty 3 did not, I shall repeat again, did not come out for PC. The first two games were basically for PC, and I believe they also did certain console versions of the first two games, but number 3 was only for consoles, which was a big bummer, I guess. It's good to hear that Call of Duty 4 will be PC as well. And the thing they're saying is that instead of being based on World War II, it is becoming modern combat. So I'm not sure if it's going to follow down the same path as the Battlefield franchise, but hopefully it doesn't become too much like Battlefield, because we've already got a Battlefield game. We just want the same enjoyment and fun that we all have come to love from Call of Duty, and hopefully be the same kind of game. One thing I liked about this article is that it said in most shooters you have two or three critical points on the head, you know, the head of the soldier that you play. But in Call of Duty 4, it has 16. And they mentioned saying something, you can shoot the side of an opponent's helmet and you'll make it spin on their head. So that's definitely something you want to see.
Yep.
You can also knock the helmet clean off. That's, I think I've seen that in previous games. I think something like GoldenEye and Nintendo 64 did that for the bad guys. If you shot their hat or something off their heads. And also supposedly you can probably shoot off an enemy's ear. I don't know if they want to make this a bit gruesome or not, but you know, finally for Call of Duty 4, for it to come on PC as well, I'm very excited. But what do you think about this, Lee?
Well, the first thing I got to say about this is it's not about World War II. Finally.
Why? You sick of the World War II?
We've had enough World War II FPS to last, you know, decades. Please, give us a different war. Just anything. Gulf War, fine, take that. Just something, just not World War II. Just lay off the World War II for like 5 years, alright? And then you can go back in and make another two dozen of them. But just give us a bit of a break on the old World War II.
Well, I guess so, but I don't mind World War II. I guess it's an interesting thing. But the thing I wish that they maybe do keep in Call of Duty 4, as we know from the previous first two games, is that around the map, or that multiplayer map, to designate the edge of the map or the limitations where you can go, that they put the minefield back into the game. Because as we know, as Lee and I have experienced before, when we went to LAN and we played it, Lee made it a point for himself to see how many suicides he can get by running into the minefield.
Oh, I got over 100.
And he got over 100 suicides, and that's all he was doing all night, which was kind of interesting, because you see someone, you're trying to kill him, and the next thing you see that he blows up into smithereens.
It sort of became a race between, could ammo snipe me, or could I run into the minefield and detonate quicker?
I even tried to knife him, so I followed him into the minefield, which was a bit of a mistake, because as soon as he stepped on a mine and died, I did the same thing. You know, it's all in good fun. Everyone who was playing had a laugh, is basically saying, can we all kill Lee before he kills himself, you know, the damn lemming or something like that.
Yep.
But yeah, that was fun. So hopefully Call of Duty 4 brings back the fun factor that we all come to love, and it's good to know that it's not going to be limited to consoles, which I was kind of pissed off at Call of Duty 3.
Yep.
Well, let's see, where are we right now? Okay, now that's it for the articles. I think we shall move on to our episode topic. And this episode topic, once again, has been titled by Lee. So I'll pass it over to him to give us the title.
Okay. This is another title made by me. And it's console to PC ports. As much fun as a kick in the teeth and as pretty as a pit bull chewing on a wasp.
We only came up with this idea just today, a couple of hours ago, is that most console to PC port games are kind of disappointing, isn't that? You see, you know, from preview movies and screenshots of what the game is going to look like on console, and then when they finally do come onto PC, you're pretty disappointed. See, as you see that both Lee and I, well, me mainly is that I'm a big PC player. I don't have any of these new consoles to mess about with, so I'm mostly stuck on PC. So when I see any new games that are coming out for both console and PC, I'm hoping that, you know, whatever I see on the console version will be on the PC version, but in most cases it's not. What are your thoughts about this, Lee?
Well, as you know, I'm a console gamer and a PC gamer, majority console. And, you know, I like consoles for their simplistic factor. You know, you just throw the thing in and off you go. But, you know, the graphics don't need to be as advanced because they rely on, you know, television instead of screen. And in my experience, it's often been, quite recently I might add, that they'll make one version for the console, whatever console it is, and then they'll just port that to as many things as they can, like every other console ever made. And, you know, it looks good on one, and it looks suck on everything else. Which is sort of like where the gist of it comes in with here. I mean, like, standard control for a PC game, keyboard and mouse. Standard thing for a console is the controller thing. So often you have control issues, like, you know, it's rubbish, unresponsive. That's not good. If it looks terrible, then, I mean, you know, you're just sitting there going, what am I doing? This is disgusting and hard to control. I don't have a problem with actually taking a console game and turning it into a PC game, so long as it's done properly. You know, there's some fundamental differences between a console game and a PC game. I got an example. You've played what's that skateboarding moron? What's his name?
Tony Hawk.
Yeah, Tony Hawk. You played Tony Hawk's games, right?
Yeah.
And you've noticed how, like, to confirm something, you've got to press like one or
yeah,
two.
One of the number buttons on the numpad. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not enter or something like, you know, that makes sense to a computer user.
Yep.
It's the same thing in Mark Echo's Getting Up, Contents Under Pressure. I remembered that. You can't, you know, it's not enter. You got to hit 2 or 4 or whatever for this. It's just rubbish. I mean, at least change that stuff so that it's, you know, enter or, you know, select, not select, like up and down, shift, alt, that sort of stuff. You know, just try and make the effort, you know, please. How about yourself?
Well, I guess what you just mentioned, yeah, on a similar basis, I understand that, is that some consoles to PC ports are not really good in the control section. What I wish most games would do is that instead of having just a designated configuration for the keyboard, is that maybe every single option or key that you need can be configured to your liking. So it's up to each individual user of what they want to do. Understand about the Tony Hawk game, if you're playing it on keyboard, the buttons are a bit hard to control, but
it's horrible.
I guess it's hard, but for me personally, it's more about the graphics, but the eye candy. For example, I'll take one game I was looking forward to until I finally did play the games, that Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter. Now, many of you probably might have seen screenshots and movies of it, and this was it looked not just the graphics, but, you know, the terms of gameplay, how on the console versions, how if you went up to a wall or a low-lying wall, you could basically, you know, hug the wall in a way so you can put your back to it and look around corners and get protection. And also in one of the corners of the screen, you would have like a in-game camera view of like what your teammates would see, or even like looking at your teammates' face so you can see how they're doing, so you get like another set of eyes to see where the enemy is. Now, when they translated the game to PC, it was kind of shocking for that one. You didn't have the hug wall feature where you could, you know, put your back to the wall and look around the corner, like in a third person over the shoulder view. They didn't have that at all. It's all first person. So it kind
not
of
at all.
Not at all. It was all first person. So the consoles, they had the third person, you know, over the shoulder view, which most new games are going for, which I like. But on the PC, it was all first person, so that kind of ruined the fun factor for me in that one. So like, you couldn't hug the wall and look around the corners like you would normally would like to do. And also that the in-game camera, the over on the corner, it wasn't actually in-game rendered, it was more of a... how do you want to explain it?
Like a just, video?
Not a video. It was... it wasn't showing what was rendered. It just shows like the wireframe of it, basically. So if you look at, you know, looking down a street and whatever, you would just see the wireframe, basic wireframe of the street and the walls. Like, you wouldn't see any detail. Like, it's not like if you took a picture and then stick it in the corner. It's not like that. It's just wireframe, like, you know, all the vertices and whatever you want to call it in a wireframe picture. That's all you saw. You didn't see anything.
That's pathetic.
That's pathetic. So you couldn't see any details, like if there's a bad guy there or something like that. They had little icons for, you know, bad guys and teammates. But, you know, it's like, I wanted to have a little in-game camera that would actually show what your teammates are seeing, but no, you didn't see that. And the gameplay, I guess, was very different compared to the consoles from what I've seen and heard. That was one game I wasn't particularly happy with. You know, just, I saw it when it came out, you know, they released it similar times for each other, so I was thinking, you know, this looks pretty good on consoles, and I guess all the videos and screenshots I saw were from the consoles version, but when it came to PC, they kind of, you know, threw it away by not translating it exactly how the console version was. So I'm thinking, what's the point if they're going to make it like a totally different game? It's just going to ruin the effect for those who want to get a, you know, play the console version.
That's just lame.
And that's the, I don't know why they decide to do that, or maybe they pass it on to a different development house to do the PC part of it, but that's not something I believe that should go on. You know, it's basically the same title of the game and the same concept, but two different designs of it. You know, one is like third person, the other one's first person. It's just, it just ruined it for me. So,
would you say that in a lot of times, PC gamers are treated like second class citizens?
Yes, especially nowadays with the new consoles like the Xbox 360 and the new PS3. How basically, you know, it's already got a set footprint for developers, like the specified power, the specified graphics and all that. But for PC, if they want to make PC game, you got to scale it up and down depending on the graphics of the person, what they got on PC, and also, you know, the screen size, resolution, all these different factors they got to do to, you know, make it possible for anyone with PC to play it. But I guess they're just going along the way that a lot of people now do have consoles to play, but not everyone has a console, and a lot of people I know do want to keep to playing games on PC, especially first-person shooters.
Oh, definitely.
For me, I could never play first-person shooters on console, except for, I guess, GoldenEye on Nintendo 64 when it came out, because, you know, we didn't have PC. Well, I didn't have a PC back then. All I had was Nintendo, so you got used to using the controller to control, you know, GoldenEye on Nintendo 64, but nowadays, after playing so many years on PC, first-person shooters with the mouse and the keyboard, you can't aim with anything else. Well, other people, you know, out there can probably aim really, really well with a controller, but for me, nah, I can't do that with controllers. Sorry about that.
I wouldn't have my Quake 3 railgun skills if it weren't for mousing.
Yes.
I love that game. And I've actually played. I played a FPS on my PS2 not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a game called Killzone. It's not too bad.
Uh-huh.
And it obviously uses the, you know, PS2 controller thing.
Yeah, yep.
And it sucks for control. It's just rubbish. It's like trying to move a slug in the rain. It's just hopeless.
Yeah, the thing that I don't like is that you can't aim very precisely. I wasn't brought up on consoles for first-person shooters. I'm sure, you know, if you look at it on the flip side, someone who was playing on a console first-person shooters out there, especially the Ghost Recon versions and the Rainbow Six and all that, they'll be used to it. But
they're sitting there screaming at their MP3 player right now.
Yeah, I'm going, you know, I can't play it like this. I remember one time in I think over at a friend's place, we were playing Unreal Championship on the Xbox, and you know, I can play the game decently on PC, as everybody knows.
Decently, God, you you're a bot.
Yeah, yeah, okay, whatever. But when it came to the console, I know I couldn't do anything except my friend who was the owner of the Xbox, and his name is Aaron, who's up there in Ireland at the moment. How are you going? Hope everything's going good for you, mate. But yeah, I guess he was used to the console controls, and I wasn't, and I didn't last long in that game. So I don't know. Back to the topic of how you're talking about console to PC ports. It's all I want to say is that developers out there, if you're listening, which I doubt you are, is that if you're making a console and PC game at the same time, please keep it similar to each other, because everybody will see all the fancy graphics and the movement and the design of the console, and I'm sure a lot of PC players out there who are willing to part with their money, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is that most PC games cost even more than the console games for some reason.
Yeah.
So, you know, we do hope that you stick similar to the console version so that we're all on a level playing field. This will also be interesting later on next year when I think Microsoft are releasing that game called Shadowrun or something, and that is being released on both Xbox 360 and PC at the same time, and apparently they will be able to play cross-platform against each other, so someone on the Xbox 360 can play against someone who's on a PC.
Oh, that's good.
So, you know, I'm thinking hopefully when that game comes out, it will be similar on both sides of the fence, so no one will have an unfair advantage, blah, blah, blah. Anything else you want to add to this intriguing episode topic?
No.
Okay, straight.
Well, no, hang on. Yeah, I got one thing. It's sort of vaguely related.
Yeah, go for it. Vaguely.
When you see a game trailer or the box art or whatever, and you look at it and you go, oh, that looks awesome.
Yeah.
And then you crack it open, you play the game, and it looks terrible. You know, and what they've done is they've made a rendered film or rendered... That sucks.
And they used to do that a lot for PlayStation games. I think I remember one game called... I think it was called, like, Tenchu Stealth Assassins, like some ninja game. You watch the introduction, and it's like, oh, highly rendered, you know, and the ninja's like running through the bushes and jumping and whatever, whatever. But when you play the game, it had that blocky PlayStation graphics, you know, like Tomb Raider style when that first came out.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I guess that's the way they're going to develop games and make it, you know, appealing to everyone back then. But nowadays, it's a bit different, like what you see in the intro movie or the cutscenes is what you see, you know, when you're playing the game. For example, I guess, you know, the latest games probably be like, what I want to say is, like the Dead or Alive games, you know, what you see in cutscenes, they are like what you see in the when you're fighting.
That game's awesome.
What, the volleyball or the fighting one?
Volleyball's better.
We won't talk about the latest incarnation of the volleyball game.
There's a latest one?
Yeah, apparently the big annoyance people are saying is that the bounce factor in this is too much. It is unrealistic.
No such thing. Which console is this for?
I think this is for whatever console they bring it out. Probably 360 or whatever, mate.
Oh, crap. Now I've got to buy one of those.
I know, but they said the bounce factor is way over the top. If you thought the bounce factor in the first one was too much, that basically there's no gravity in the bounce factor just in this latest.
That's fantastic.
Okay, I take it you're one of these guys that buys the game, not for the storyline.
Hey, I followed the storyline in, you know, Extreme Volleyball. I mean, the storyline sucked, but I followed it.
Okay. I think we'll leave it about the episode topic. If anyone out there has got anything they want to add to this topic, the console to PC ports, how we're saying how they kind of suck in most games, feel free to add anything on our comments on the website.
Yep.
Okay, now what are we playing? Okay, Lee, once again, I'm sure everyone out there is interested to know what you are playing.
Are they ever? They're calling me day and night. Lee, what are you playing? People will just call me up. Anyway, I'll tell you. Once again, I've been playing that game online, that InselKampf.
Uh-huh.
Good game. I've got 125 points now.
Small bargain.
And I'm 2IC in my little clan thingy of four people.
That means nothing to me, but I'll take your word for it. Interesting.
No, like second in charge.
Oh, second in charge. Oh, okay, now I understand. So
I have no idea why. I don't even know what I'm doing. I only figured out how to build an army like 3 days ago. But, yeah, no, I'm having fun.
Mm-hmm. What else?
So that's cool. Yep, I took your advice. I think it was like last podcast or whatever to work through for 100% on GTA Vice City. Doing that. I got about 43%, so I got a fair way to go yet. But both islands open. Can cruise around. Done most of the missions, so we're getting there. And I've had it for a while. Finally got around to installing it and playing it. Need for Speed Most Wanted.
And was it the latest edition of the game came out recently? Need for Speed Carbon.
Yeah.
So okay. So how do you like Most Wanted at the moment?
I think it's great. Having a blast. I got this car that seems like a rocket with a few wheels on it. Thing goes mental. And I won a car off another guy, and that one goes like the clappers too. But man, having trouble with the cops. I take this thing out, I run over a street sign, boom, they're all over me. I got helicopters everywhere. I think I got to park it in the garage and let it sit for a while.
Yeah,
but
you gotta do that.
Having a great time. Yeah, races.
I remember when I was playing that game, it's like before Most Wanted, they did Underground 1 and 2, and, that was focused more on the, underground street racing, especially at night, so you couldn't see much. But with Most Wanted, it was more like daytime, afternoon, early morning.
Yeah, yeah.
No nighttime, really, if you remember. It's just basically, the sunlight is out, and it looks pretty sweet when the sun is setting or rising early. And yeah. I guess Most Wanted was what brought in the fun factor was that you could have the destructible environments like the gas station or the donut shop or even the semi-trailer that's carrying the other I think they have the cars or the logs as well.
One with logs.
And also the big trucks. What I used to do is just drive underneath the trucks. If the cops are following me, I'll go on one side of the truck, go under it, and then pull out on the other side and, take off. So that's kind of interesting.
I got to say the product placement's a little rife. I could say that if I went to America and if I had to buy a mobile phone, it'd probably be with Singular.
Singular's everywhere, man. So.
Oh yeah, but at least now I'm driving safe thanks to that bird's warning at the start every time I fire it up. Hi, drive safe. Okay.
Oh yeah,
Josie, she says so.
Yeah, Josie Moran, I think that's her name.
Yeah.
So that was a good game when I played it.
How about yourself?
Once again, I'm sure everyone is shocked to believe that I'm still playing Battlefield 2142.
No way!
Yes way! I'm having such a blast playing that game. I don't know, I guess it's just me. I like first-person shooters, and especially those set in some kind of war setting. First they did Battlefield 1942, which I didn't follow because I didn't really like it that much for some reason. I think the graphics look kind of dodgy. And then when they brought up Battlefield 2, it was modern combat, in the modern world. So I was really interested in that because you had, fast jets, the tanks, and all this stuff. So I got that and I was hooked. And then when they brought out the latest incarnation of Battlefield 2142, which is based in the future after an ice age. The Earth is basically covered in ice once again, so it's an interesting storyline, but I love the gameplay that there's so many things you can do. How do I explain it? They say it's like the game is like a sandbox or sand pit gameplay where you don't have to stick to a certain thing. You can do whatever you want in the game. Sort of like GTA, how you can do whatever you want in the game. You don't really follow what you're doing. Certain missions, you can go here, do that, steal a car, whatever, but not in, I guess you don't steal a car in Battlefield 2142, but you don't have to stick to doing one certain thing, plant a bomb or something like that. You can help teammates by repairing something or healing someone or giving them ammunition and all those different things you can do in the game, so I'm just hooked in it. And also, I'm trying out at the moment, Neverwinter Nights 2. I played the first one, and I finished it with my friend Jason, and that was interesting, because, we spent a lot of time playing the first one, so I thought, we'll try out the second one. So we're trying out the second one, and, the graphics are better, as you'd expect, but it does lag a bit, because the requirements are kind of high, and my PC is shockingly old. But, that's an interesting game. Now, Tonight's 2 is an RPG, a role-playing game for those who might not be too worried about it. But if you like those kind of settings, those fantasy settings, I guess you could say like Lord of the Rings like. You know, you got sorcerer, wizard, ranger, dwarf, warrior, fighter, something like that. If you like those kind of games, give it a shot. I think there's a demo. Maybe, I'm not sure. I can't remember. But yeah, give it a shot if you're interested.
Give it a shot. Ammo says give it a shot.
Yeah, give it a shot. It's an interesting game. Okay, well, that's enough of what we're playing. I'm sure you're sick of listening to us now. We'll go on to website of the show, and as you all know, every episode we try to find a website that we think some of you guys might be interested in taking a look at. And first, I'd like to say that this site, well, we kind of stole it from a friend who does another website. He does a blog site called Site of the Week, and I think we did a link to it in previous episodes. Something like that. But basically, he showed us this website, and you know, both of us thought, "Hey, this is pretty interesting." So we might as well talk about it in our own podcast. And this website is called, what was it, Online Nintendo Video Games? And basically, what this site has is, I think it was like what 800 or so. I can't remember, but 800 different Nintendo games that you can play online. I guess it's probably like an online emulator or something like that. But you know, the screen size is not big; it's kind of small, so you gotta, you know, get close to the screen, I guess. But you can play the old favorites that you haven't played in such a long time. And I kind of tried this out. I think last night I played like Double Dragon 3, Bubble Bobble. I think was on there.
Hey, Bubble Bobble!
I played International Cricket. I remember when I played that game, I had the perfect field setup where a couple of games I would get the whole team, the other team, out for 0 points, 0 runs. So, you know, it was kind of interesting doing that. But, you know, these are old Nintendo games, and if you want it for a nostalgic feeling, I guess that's the right word, go for it.
Yes. Gaming's heyday. Go and get educated.
Have you played any of these Nintendo games yet, Leonard?
Excitebike, that brings back memories.
I could not understand Excitebike. Like, I remember I tried it once at a video store years ago, and I think my problem was that I just kept gunning the bike to maximum acceleration, so I could never, I don't know how. I kept crashing on that bloody, one of those big jumps, like the three hills or something like that.
Yeah. I had it on one of those. You know, remember those old Nintendo carts were like, you know, 45 trillion in one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had it on one of those. Mm-hmm. And I had a mate who was sleeping over one night. He was sleeping over on his birthday for some unknown reason.
Okay.
And we ended up playing that for, I don't know, it was about 18 hours straight. So, snap. Yeah, it brings back memories playing that. But that was a great game. That was a great game.
Yeah, he's had a good games there. Oh, Kung Fu. I'm just looking at the website now. Just talking about that Kung Fu. I've got that on my own Nintendo. It's somewhere a year. I got that. Oh, don't forget, you got the original Super Mario Brothers.
Oh,
Double Dribble for all those basketball fans out there. You know,
I played that.
Yeah, Track and Field, Castlevania, Battletoads. For those who never played Battletoads, you gotta play it. You know, in terms of gameplay, it was absolutely fun and funny at the same time too.
And for those that have seen Ammo's speed run of it a few hundred times, now I can play it.
Oh yeah! After watching a couple of speed runs through some games, I thought, you know, can I give it a go? Maybe not. I'm not that good for
Lemmings.
we're just mouthing off all the different names we can see right here at the moment.
Oh, just go to this site. Just cancel work, go to this site, play games all day.
Cancel work. That's if you do work, you know. Some people out there might not work. Well, I guess that's it for a site of the week. Let's see, where are we? Yep, this is called Online Nintendo Video Games, and we'll put the link up on our website and all the other links to our articles and whatever we got there, I guess. But, let's see, we're nearly out of time for this episode, so because we don't want to keep boring everyone out there with our voice.
No.
So, let's see. If you've got anything you'd like to add to our to comment for our show, go to our website, which is videogamingisgood.podomatic.com.
Mm-hmm.
And
Leave us comments.
Leave us comments. You can see all our previous episodes as well.
If you got any ideas.
Yeah, if you've got any ideas for what you want us to talk about, you know, go for it. I'm sure we don't mind.
No.
I don't know what else to say. You got anything else you want to say, Lee?
No.
No.
I'm good.
You're good. Okay, well, we hope we haven't bored you to death, people out there. You know, just, you know, as I said before, the two unprofessional, ugliest guys on the internet talking about gaming. And I don't know, how many people download this? Maybe
400,000?
I think a bit less, like 50. Oh, maybe, I don't know how many people download this. I'm just giving a wild guess. But for those
I think in the next fort week, we're going to be late for episode 11. We got the LAN.
Oh, have we?
Yeah.
Okay, so, more than likely the next episode will be delayed because we got a LAN, the final LAN of our club, basically, unfortunately, you know, not doing too well at the moment, but, you know, that's another story. We'll talk about it probably in the next episode, see how it goes.
Yep.
But, yeah, okay, so hopefully we'll see you again in a couple of weeks' time, and more than likely it will be delayed, so we'll give you a prior warning about it for the first time, I guess.
Well,
you know, if you're listening to this and you've been following us, you know we always delay our shows because that's just the way we are because we're not pros.
That's right.
Yeah, okay, so thanks for listening to us, and once again, I am Darren, a.k.a. Emo, and...
I'm LEE7, also known as Squazza.
Or Lee for his previous name, which he wants to change it now, I guess. I don't know. Definitely. But anyway, that's for us. Thanks for listening to episode 7 of Video Gaming is Good.
And episode 7?
Sorry, episode 10. I don't know what I'm thinking. You got me confused with that Lee 7 stuff, man.
Yeah.
God damn it. Okay, it's episode 10, 10, or X in the good old Roman numerals. So that's it for episode 10. I'm not going to hear the end of this, am I? Bloody hell. Okay, that's it for this episode. Thanks for joining us, and we hope to catch you next time.
Cheerio!